And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, Dr. Judy can't come on today. She's had an emergency. Her mom is she's flying to D.C. Her mom's hospitalized in critical condition for something. Prayers. Okay. Bob's gonna be able to go. All right, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna find Judy can't come on. We'll get Bob Anderson on. He's out in Lone Prairie of whatever, and he may have even been listening to the show, so he might have done on the water thing. Because, this is a perfect example of the water thing. Now, he has a well, okay? How much does the well do? How much does he want to increase? So we can use him as example. So we're going to go talk. So let's say hello to Robert Anderson, Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Hancock.
Okay, this is what I want to do. Were you listening to the show earlier?
Yeah, let me turn it off so I'm not, doing crazy stuff on the phone here.
Yeah. Okay, so you heard the water thing with the guy, right?
I was running around the house, but I caught quite a bit of it.
Okay, this is what I want to do with him. He's here in Cave Creek, and he was a recommendation from Brian Gallagher, one of the activist construction do stuff guy. And so I'm going, okay, here's somebody that knows. And the law, he was like, I don't know. He didn't get the impression there was a lot of law, except when it hits the ground and diverting and doing and whatever. So we can talk about a lot of different things. But I want to use you are like a perfect example, okay? Remind the audience where you live, how you live, how long you've lived, what kind of systems from the grid of the man is in and not, and how you do. And then we'll get into the water first segment. Tell us everything. Bob, go.
You want me to tell them where my secret bunker is?
No, you got to be super, all secrets, but,
Yeah, no, I'm out here in Totopath, about 50 miles west of Phoenix, and it's rather arid here. I got about 9 acres of land, and I'm out, in the middle of the Lone Prairie, and it's got some hills behind it, but the part I'm on is actually kind of at the base of the hills, and it's reasonably flat, kind of slopes towards the front of my property. And when it rains here, and there's a lot of water goes across my property to the point that, sometimes I got a big wash behind me. Sometimes that big wash is, it runs at least once or twice a year. I have a bunch of if you sit there and you go out and you observe the land after a big rainstorm, you get a lot of these little streams that are about a foot across and maybe only an inch deep, but they're moving, and you can see them. Little tributaries come in from different parts of the land, and it runs across and eventually runs up the front of the property and
the other one.
Meets a bunch of other little streams, and slowly but surely turns into a going concern kind of thing. And so if you find a couple of places where all these come together, you can make a little depression in the land, and it'll collect a substantial amount of water.
This is the depression thing. Let's talk about that real quick. Donna's pulling up some pictures of your aquaponics and different things. We're getting, all this put together so people can see kind of the idea of what you're doing. I was talking to the guy and I go, well, aquaponics, man, that doesn't use a whole bunch of water. Nope, doesn't. And, we were talking about, we're going, do I need to have a big giant tank, which you got a bunch of tanks, tank to extend and water my plants? Well, sometimes when it rains, you could just have it kind of go underneath the ground and have a bunch of wood under and soak up the, you know, diaper pellets of whatever the hell that you can do to keep the water where you want it, and then have trees that, I mean, there's a whole lot of different plans. One of the things that you did is that your land relatively flat, but it does slope. And so when it rains and it's a monsoon of, I'm sure you've had a couple here recently, that your land gets how deep in water?
Well, like I say, the whole, you know, the land itself, you might see a bunch of these little, like, inch deep streams and stuff. Yeah, I wish I had time. I took some pictures here the last time it rained because, you know, the hole that I dug up on the front of the property that I have yet to finish that project, it was full. I mean, full. And it's probably, I bet you it's got to be at least 4,000 or 5,000 gallons worth of water. And once it was full, the rest of it just kept right on going on down the, you know, out onto the street and down the side of the street, and it forms a river. You know, I mean, substantial enough that, you know, the washes run, we're isolated. And when I get a big rain out here, I'm kind of actually on a little island when it comes to being able to get out of here on a, you know, if I need to get out of here, you ain't moving for a few hours till the washes go down.
Okay, now this is, let's talk about this. You got a big, just, you know, how many acres you got? 9, 10 acres or something?
Yeah, just under 9.
So you got 9 acres, you're out there, and that's a pretty good piece. So that's be, how many acres is a football field?
Oh, hell, I don't know, but I'm probably pretty close. I wouldn't imagine it's a whole lot more than that, or maybe just a little.
Okay, so
that.
You got, like, you know, 8 football fields, let's say. Okay.
Yeah, well, probably 2, maybe 3.
Really? That's it? I thought it was more. Nah, you're at least over 3. I mean, there's 3 or 4 football fields minimum out. Anyway, so 9 acres. So you got, and it's kind of squarish, you know, rectangle. It's you know, maybe elongated a little bit, but so you got a lot of, and it goes from one high corner down to one low corner. Now in there, out in the middle of your property where you're not doing nothing, it's out in the middle of, you know, over there, over, you know, kind of, you can't even see it. So over there, the water kind of consolidates and it starts to make a stream. Well, you're going, I take a backhoe and I dig down however far and I can make, I can get me a big giant pond or even an underwater thing or culverts. I can bury, you know, tanks or whatever. You know, what do you think would be the cheapest way for you to harvest, control, have access, pump it out water? I got it over there. You know, what are we looking at doing?
Probably the cheapest, probably not the most efficient, but the cheapest would just be to, you know, build a pond. You see they got what they call tanks out here for the cattle all the time, and that's what they'll do. They'll go to one of the washers, they'll build actually a fairly good sized earthen dam, and all that does is it catches the water, and, you know, the water will hang out in there for a couple of weeks and allows the cattle to come in and, you know, drink and the wildlife and all that, and then eventually it dries up. But, you know, over the course of, you know, however many years they've been there, they turn into quite the little ecosystem out there. You know, pretty soon the trees get a little greener and bushier, and, you know, there's a lot more shade and more animals hang out. And pretty soon you get cattails growing. And, I mean, so, and they're all over out here. I mean, they have cattle tanks on any, pretty much any major wash out here. The cattle ranchers will have built.
We see a lot of these, and that's pretty, I guess that's how that happens. Do you have to, the percolation of the soil there, now you're going to have to line it or it just go away, right?
Eventually it does. Like the hole I have in the front, until I get it lined, the water stays there about a day or two and then it's gone. But all the creosote bushes in that area sure look happy.
Yeah. Okay. See, there you could have the land. And then if you buried a bunch of absorbent wood or something like that, you know, tell us about that. Have you tried that? Have you done that? Have you created some kind of, you know, retain the water for different plants of anything? Have you started on that yet?
No, well, mostly I've done things like, what they call it, they call it a French drain, I guess, or, basically if you take and you, I mean, real subtle, doesn't have to be very much, just an inch or two. You build like a little berm around an area and get water can go into, and then it can either pave it with pavers that have spaces between it. So basically what water falls there, it doesn't run off. It stays on that area and soaks into the ground. And so that basically keeps more water in that area.
You know, this is one thing that we could, you know, I see what I'm thinking of is that in your area, you're going to get all fancy. And I'm like, you know, give me a bunch of that black freaking plastic and you overlay it, put a hoop on it and just, you know, cover it, you know, to keep it there and underneath and kind of, and you got 20,000 gallons of, because I can. and nobody even sees it, and screw them, you know. I put a bush in front of it. I mean, we'll talk about it. We'll be right back. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. Okay, Donna is taking different files of pictures that we've done over the years and combining them and putting a lot of the aquaponics and some of your property and so on, so people get an idea of what we're talking about. But you see what I mean? You get that thick, you watch Gold Rush, and they got to have their retaining pond if we need to mine or whatever the hell, you know, sluice and stuff. And they just you take a big, giant plastic, let's say you have a channel that is, you know, 15 feet wide, you know, say 20 feet wide, and it's however deep, and it's, 60 feet long. So you got like old Quonset hut upside down, okay? So you align that, and you have the extra material can just go over to cover the top of it. Got a little hoop thing of PVC, of wood, of whatever, carbon fiber rod, of tent pole, of who gives a crap. And it just goes over it. Every time it rains, it just goes in there, fills that up, you're done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that would work. It's just a matter of doing it.
Oh, I know what you could do. Oh. What if, you probably don't need it. But I was just thinking, you take one of these domes, and you just dig a hole, and you put it upside down in it.
And then you put another dome over the top of it.
Okay. Yeah, see, there's a lot of stuff that, yeah. No, how much, let's get into quantity. How many gallons that you think you need and what you're doing and how much you can pump. Because, we could probably do a lot of the work ourselves, and we get to promote this guy. He can help with different something. I mean, he doesn't really probably have anything that we couldn't figure out, but, you know, you get some help and you have options for other people to do it. It'd be kind of a pirate thing. You know what I mean? All right. I'll tell you on air. Here we go.
Get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, where do you stop that? Right here? No. Oh, if I could play the piano, that's how my brain works right there. All the time. All right. Bob Anderson, you know, Mr. Anderson. Okay. This is stuff that we're very interested in that Bob and I have been doing, working on, thinking about for a long time. And he has actually went through this process of starting doing this. And here's, you know, now this is where his greenhouse went on the back. We'll just, you know, kind of scroll through a lot of these pictures. Those of you that are watching the video. Oh, yeah, the live streaming. We're doing repairs on and moving servers and fixing, and Derek is on and everything. And hopefully by next week we'll have everything all, you know, copacetic. But so you're watching the video now. It's not live. But let me go ahead and go through. Here's his battery bank, his windmill. You know, there's the solar panels. I'm just going to do this real quick so you guys kind of get an idea. Oh, and he raises fish. Oh, look at all the vegetables he got and his different schematics for and how big his freaking plants are. Oh, my God. He does all these different kinds. So he's into this kind of stuff. He even has, you know, solar that heats the water in the winter for the fish. Automatic. You know, sun's up, it pumps. It goes down, it don't pump no more. So this just... awesome that he's built all this stuff. Yeah, Donna, man, we got a bunch of pictures of you, Bob. All right, here we go. Go. All right, well, this is just the aquaponics one. You know, she doesn't have, but you kind of get to see the land that he has out there. It's just open land, you know, out in the middle of the desert that he's making an oasis, and it keeps going, going. One of the problems was, is in his backyard, when he started planting citrus trees, and he started having other, anything that wasn't like a desert Palo Verde or mesquite or something, it needs a lot of water. And are you able to pump that much water from your well? And he goes, well, I need supplement, and I got it. When it floods, man, I got enough water to last me for freaking ever if I was able to retain it. So give us your water usage. I mean, you're a big number, I got a chart of guy. You know, so tell me for you and your sons and your family, and you got, you know, the little mother-in-law house there where one of your sons and, you know, and his spouse is there and so on. Give us water usage and then what you'd like it to be and what we think we need to do.
Pretty seasonal. Like say, I do a lot of evap cooling when the weather's there, and so typically May and June, maybe a little bit of April, my water usage is actually pretty high because I'm using it for evap cooling.
Really, does that take up that much water? How much water does evaporative cooler use?
Oh, a bunch. I can see it because, like say, I do keep a pretty good eye on my potable water tank, and so I got to pump my well basically every other day to keep up with it when during the winter time.
Wait a minute. How big is the tank for your property there?
2,500 gallons.
Okay, and you have another one that you've yet to hook up, right?
I got two other big tanks that I use for non-potable water. Even though I pump out of the well for it, I use that for irrigation, and during the winter time when my water usage is low, I fill those up and I use them for helping to cool my generator during the summertime.
So you're just from, you know, when you use your generator, you have a stock tank that's there, and it just runs. It cools an exchange heat exchanger for the radiator because it's freaking 100 billion degrees out here. So you have the stock tank, and it's just kind of aerator. It sprays and it cools it down to keep the generator not so hot and use water. The evaporation from that and your evaporative cooler that you use, because you're totally off the grid. I mean, you're battery and solar and wind and whatever, but you know, you got a generator for so many hours a day in the summer that you need to whatever. So the thing is I'm going, okay, we just need to add more solar panels and batteries. You don't need that generator anymore. We're working on that. So Bob came over last week and helped me make, God, we got enough stuff for like three solar generators. And we're like, man, we're going to be doing us some pirate classes on this, which will include the water thing. But I need to get an idea how many gallons, you know, you're saying that you're going through like 2,500 gallons every other day?
Well, no, I'm probably going through about 1,500 gallons every other day.
That's a freaking lot, man.
Yeah, it is. Well, I have three adults here. Sometimes I get five, you know, adults, a couple of them teenage boys, and, you know, it is just, you know, teenage boys take long showers, and, you know, so you got, you know, that kind of stuff going on, the vap coolers, and, you know, I still got to make up for the evaporation and the aquaponics, and, you know, so, I mean, you know, I got to water some of the trees and things like that, so, I mean, it's pretty, I have to keep pretty good eye on the water last bit of April, June, and May and June, and once the monsoon comes in and I'm not using the vap coolers anymore, yeah, I probably use, 300 to 400 gallons per person a day, every other day kind of thing.
Damn. Okay. Well, you're not sacrificing. You're living large, so, you know, I mean, you use a lot of water. But the reason you don't use the reason you don't use evaporative in the monsoon when it's raining and stuff here is because?
Because the air's already got a whole lot of water in it, so it doesn't work. A lot of evaporating.
It doesn't work. Okay, so we got that. Now, one of the other things is you're using for irrigation and everything, your potable water from your well, because that's where you get your water. If you were able to collect a lot of water just from the rain, you know, a couple of things that you take into account. Our water is really heavy here in Arizona from all the minerals and everything. How heavy is your water coming out of your well?
Yeah, my well water is pretty awesome. I just got really lucky that I got in like a really good part of the aquifer or whatever, but my water is like almost naturally soft. I have very little scaling. My water tastes really yummy, and it doesn't leave a lot of salt in the ground. When I'm gardening, you know, typically if you wind up having salts on the top of the soil when you use your water for gardening, that becomes a real big problem for people who do a lot of irrigation. And I really don't have a lot of that. My water is actually pretty good.
Well, if you add rainwater, there's some micro particulate of the, I don't know, chemtrail chemical of whatever the hell might be in it. But when it comes to using it through your system or scaling up your pipes or something like that, rainwater is pretty distilled.
Yeah, pretty soft.
All right, so rainwater, really, there's a lot of benefit if you can get it and you got property like you. Oh, and a big, you know, piece of it drains to a one particular area, and you don't have this done because why? You're a slacktivist? What's up?
Yeah, I'm a slacktivist.
You know, wait till it gets cooler.
It's hot outside. It's just a project out of the things that came along, and you know, I got the hole dug, and then, you know, life changes and work got in the way, and you know, now that I'm not actively engaged in employment anymore, I can start putting my time and effort onto the property. So,
well, I think it would add value. I'm not sure what the laws are. And they go, no, it's diminished. You have to take and cover it up. And it costs $20,000 less to sell it because you like saved water. I'm thinking most people go, yeah, I think I pay extra for that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I'm not worried about selling it. I mean, we'll be generations of Andersons out here before anybody worries about that.
Yeah, there you go. Now you can do what the hell you want. All right. And I'm not really sure what the laws are as if we care, but I mean, you know, this is drain off that it is in to have enough water. If you could store it to last you a year, would take how long to fill up?
Oh, I've seen storms where I have enough water to last me for a year in about 20 minutes.
See, this is my point. You know, there is way more water available if you know what to do with it.
So you've signed the Shire.
I'm sorry?
I got a river that runs past the front of my property when it rains real bad. I mean, like I said, I wish I could send you some of the pictures. I mean, literally, the road in front of my house below my way turns into a river. Like, you can't drive in it. Like, as far as you can see, it's a river.
Yeah, see, this is, to have the, if you plan for this in the beginning, I would imagine that if you, by digging, you know, the right channels or gravel underneath, you got a backhoe and a bulldozer, you could take the land that you have, and you could do whatever the hell you wanted to make it passively, I got enough water to last forever, cause.
Oh, yeah, and there's special techniques you can take, and sometimes it's, you know, it can be multi-generational. I mean, there's people who have taken, you know, desert environments like Israel, South Africa, right, everything was going on with the South Africans taking all the farmers' land down there. When those guys went down there, that was desert. They just spent generations slowly sculpting the land and figuring out how to, you know, move the water in the right ways and terrace the property in such a way that they've turned it into an oasis down there.
You know, that's another thing you see in, the Middle East and these ancient cultures. You know, Istanbul is a freaking lake underneath everything. You know, they got plenty of water. And here in Arizona, we got 40 years of water. It's underground of water. It's got, yeah, see that you have, and you got water, you're going to be okay, but you could do orchards out there if you wanted to, and then you have you're off the grid, you got your own power, you got water, you got communication. I don't know, Bob's sitting pretty good, man. You know, I and now that you got time, you know, a little bit of resources to do this stuff. You know, hell, I'm for helping you just to learn and share with everybody. If we get to be, look at the Pirates.
Just wait. Well, I need a flag.
What, a black one?
I need my black flag. But you know, then
against all flag, flag.
Against all flag, flag. No, yeah, no, absolutely. You know, as soon as the weather cools off, you guys saddle on up. Come on out. We'll make a going concern of it. I got projects, man.
No. I got a bunch. I don't like, you know, doing it here, anything permanent, because we rent, and they're perfectly willing to have me do it. I talk, oh yeah, you can do it. This is a cool project. You should do that. I go, yeah. So I'd rather do it out with you, and then it starts to cool off. You got a time scale here, man? I mean, when it gets below what temperature, we're going to, you know, kick ass and get on it?
You know, probably mid-October.
All right. We'll do. Well, I think it'll be about October. I don't know which weekend. It'll be first, second, third, fourth, you know, whatever weekend in the month that we'll have a pirate come up here and do a lot of the stuff. Like, I think the power generation thing that you helped me with, I think that's just awesome. It's so simple, and it helps understand. You get the basics of, because everybody wants to know, well, how much storage do I need? You know, well, how much, you know, will produce how much power and how much generation and how much and how much and how much. Once you start getting that math of what it is that you're powering, well, then it goes downhill from there, and you can demonstrate that, and people build a little one, then they get it. You know, I got it. You know, it was a lot easier for me to understand by doing that. So I want to do that first. The other thing is that it's power and water and shelter. Well, we got the, you know, the domes. We got the, you know, power thing we can do. We have water we need to work on. And I think this project for you to demonstrate, because you have all of the great, you already got a well, you could do the potable, you know, you could, you know, keep yourself hydrated, but how much of an orchard can you have? You can, man. I mean, you got it sitting there. It's just, and you don't even have to spend that much money. I'm for doing a gold rush low. You already got excavate. Give me a bulldozer and some plastic.
Oh, I'm ready. That ferro concrete thing is what I want to do.
All right, hold on. Yeah, we're back. We were yakking. Okay, ferro concrete. All right, this is what Bob and I are talking about. Bob has a perfect example. He's been out there. What year did you move out there?
I can't remember. It's been at least 12 years. So, I mean, no, it's been 14 years.
Yeah, over a decade. So it was like in, I don't know, 03, 04, something like that. I remember. And you get this property. He's got 9 whatever acres. And it's out in Lone Prairie, out in the middle of the desert. His front, you know, runs along a paved road, so it's not that bad, you know. But getting back to him, and because it's alluvial floodplain, it's the erosion of all the mountains, and it kind of just fills up the valley. Well, of course, there's still water down there. It just keeps building up. So you relatively low water table out in front of your property. I think you're probably 500 foot well, but you know. Within a half a mile of you, it's how shallow? How deep would you go to get the water?
I'm, you know, not really sure, but you know, I got some of the farmers out here, and you know, they got that, 24-inch pipe pumping 24/7 like a, you know, a river coming out of the ground. So I mean, I'm not sure about how far down they're at, but there's a lot of water.
So this is, and it's good water. Now, of course, you buy a nuclear power plant, but you know, they aren't leaking today. You were there when you left. It was good. So I guess we're okay. But and you're not that worried. You live out there. So this is of course you got a mountain between you 10 miles away, but that helps. But, good water, but not enough. I mean, to pull up, you know, that kind of 24 inch, we're just freaking irrigating big giant swaths of farmland. You know, that's how much water there is out there, but you have to pay a gazillion dollars for the pump and then get deep in it, blah, blah, blah. So you got enough water that you're living large and you're good. Well,
oh, yeah.
But to make it farmland, which some people do, we were out there, Tonopah Rob, you know, that when he was doing organic farming out there, he just, you know, he's powering up and pumping up a bunch of water. He had plenty of water doing his farming. But to collect the surface water, you have the lower areas that we could kind of line and then cover and do, you know, what are we looking at in cost there as you went through this? And then you're talking about ferro cement. Well, what do you mean by that? You're going to build a road on the bottom. You're going to actually concrete it. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, like we've talked about the dome of, basically coating the domes with some chicken wire, and then basically you shoot stucco or basically concrete on top of it. It's ferro concrete. Ferro is metal, and concrete's concrete. Just basically, it's reinforced concrete, but you can spray it. Anybody who's had a swimming pool made, that's basically what they're doing. They just come in and shotcrete the rebar as it sits in the hole in the ground to make the liner before they plaster it. And there's all kinds of things on the internet where in third world countries they can get the people together and with a pretty primitive materials, they can sit there and with their hands and the mixer make a big water tank for their village. And I was going, well, hell, that's pretty easy to do. You dig a hole in the ground, much like a swimming pool, I'll line it with some chicken wire and shoot some concrete in it, and I'll have a little depression in the ground that won't leak the water out, and we'll store the water that runs across my property. That was kind of the idea of it. I got the hole dug, and life changes happen, and other things came up, and I just think,
Wasn't that big a hole. When I saw it, I'm going, God, I thought you'd go, where's the bulldozer, man? I mean, how many gallons were you planning on doing?
I bet you that's probably 4,000 or 5,000 gallons, but the idea is that I'm going to put a pump on it, so once it starts raining and filling, I'll turn the pump on, because I'll just pump it to the tanks I have on the top of my property, and those tanks, like I say, I use for my generator a little bit, or I can use that for water in my trees and, all kinds of stuff. I catch water off my roof and do a pretty good job of watering my trees just with a horse trough and gutters off my roof. That's a no-brainer. That's easy to do.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, we could just see, it's almost like, depending on the cost of materials, and we do a demonstration crowdfund of kind of, you never know. I mean, we'll see what we can do, go all pirate up. But you have a big enough area that you could have almost unlimited water.
Oh, yeah. No, if I dug a big enough hole, like I say, I see rainstorms that come across this property that have enough water that falls within, 20, 30 minutes, that it'd be a year's supply easy.
Okay. So this is the other thing. I was watching these last weekend or last Saturday or something. I just got mesmerized by this one primitive survival, Borneo guy out in the middle of the jungle of I got a hut, and how can we forge steel, and how do we make water, and how we do wells, and how do we build, troughs for animal, you can hear him. I mean, he's there, but no speaking, no music, no nothing. You're just there watching this guy, build whatever. And one of the things that they did is they had a trough where the water would come in and be pure water you could drink. But it came from a tower they did with bricks that they made of their own cement with ash and sand. And, it was just amazing. They did everything, even the pottery they do for making their blower for the kiln. And, it was all, where's some mud and I'm going to bake it. It was amazing. There was not a freaking piece of metal, stone axes. We're talking Stone Age stuff. But what they did is where you have the water, the rainwater, runoff water, you got all your water, and lower down, or you pump it or whatever, but it went through gravel and sand and charcoal, and it made it pure freaking water. And I remember you talking to me about there was a system you saw that you could do off your house or on your property that did the same kind of thing that you could put at the end of your thing. Now you got potable water option too.
Yeah, it's called a slow sand filter. Look it up. It's like, FDA has studied it, and the CDC has studied it, and the UN studied it, and there's all kinds of, it's third world, whatever kind of, you can make potable water out of captured rainwater with these slow sand filters, and it's all been, tested, all the numbers are there of the microbes that it removes and whatever, and it's just, you're mimicking what nature does as the water seeps down through the ground down into the aquifer. So, it works.
Yeah, it had a lot to do with, a lot of it, you filter the solids and kind of gets down, but then it gets through carbon. And it's just a bunch of charcoal that you have, and then that goes through that layer. Acres of exposed activated charcoal of my filter of blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, I just made it in my backyard and it's all good. So if you can get the water, you can do whatever the heck you want with it. Drink it, bathe in it, use it. Water, you don't have to go through that. You can turn a valve and it doesn't go over there, it goes over here, and you pull to fill up and do in acres of pecan trees of now I'm a farmer.
That's why I have my storage tanks on the high point of my property, and gravity is my friend. It'll move a lot of water for you. Just open up the valve and let it do its thing.
You already know your sons and you do the Saddleback Mountain aquaponic kind of look what we did stuff. Got a channel of you, man. You could be a famous some guy. Help, you know, go be pirate. Get your Against All Flags flag and just kind of we'll do all these projects and I'm Bob.
Got to earn my bones.
Yep, earn your bones. See, that's one thing we have on Pirates Without Borders is the crossbones. We have, you know, different colors of the crossbones. We even have the skull. It's a pin that you put on. A shiny badges Davi did this for. We designed them. And different colors of the bones is what you're expert in. So you have, like, I think orange is electricity, magenta or purple is transportation, red for communications, you know, energy is whatever. So you have those, and then we have some of that different combinations. I would think, like, you know, make domes, you got shelter, you got electricity, you got two different colors. So we're doing that. You earn your bones, all right? So then we're good. So we got, you know, the plan for the future of this, but I wasn't willing to put forth all the effort until we could get off the man's grid in information. That's what we're working on now. In fact, we have some people, we'll be talking about this in the future, some investors and people with money, and they want to, you know, support this kind of technology over here, or it's a crypto whatever or something, and they would like our endorsement or help. And so this is developing. But until I could have a system like Steemit or blockchain storage of data or interplanetary file sharing system, IPFS, if it never go away and they can't, you know, censor it and take it down, why would I put forth all this effort and so on? And we don't want the people to know that you'd be free and stuff. Well, we got Bob out here. I might go buy me some land, be a neighbor. And then what? You know, we'll test it on Bob first, and then I'll do the best part of it, what we learned.
There you go.
You know, so this, all right. More on this. I want to get, you know, numbers. You know, I want to see, you know, how much we're going to need to do and how much and how you determine acre feet and this and all that kind of stuff. Because, man, you can turn Arizona into an oasis. Hell, it already is. I'll be right back.
Cell 411.
Yeah, give me some. When I say acre foot, an acre foot of water is an acre covered a foot, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. So if I got an acre foot, how much, how many gallons is that?
You have to ask.
The Google. Internet. Okay, wait a minute.
Ask the internet.
Password. God, Bob
hey,
doesn't
did you get
know
that.
That.
Did you get that file of the radio stuff I sent you?
The radio stuff.
I sent you an email a couple days ago of basically it's a FM radio. Basically everything y'all wanted to know about starting your little FM radio station kind of thing. I just sent it to you. I had it. It was pretty good inclusive file.
Well, I was I was traveling. I went and got my mom from Texas.
Well, you need to catch up on your email.
Well, I'm looking. I don't see it. Complete. What'd you send it to?
You know, Cox.net, Ernest Hancock thing.
Okay, it was August 21st, completed dome planner project. Oh, that's Adam doing on the... I got poly barrels and crank pump, but more batteries. When's this from? August 6th. Okay, I got some things here, but I did not know.
Yeah, it was probably like the 24th, maybe. 24th, 25th.
Maybe I accidentally, you know, deleted it. Okay, because I'm searching your name. I'm not seeing. Well, send it to me again. You got it in your send mail?
Oh, yes, I do. I sent it to you last week on the 25th, and I will send it again.
Okay, wait a minute. 24. Da, 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 da. Don't see it.
It said R radio to ER. Ernest Hancock at Cox.net. Send again.
Again. All right.
Okay, should see it any second. It's a pretty good read.
Well, it's so what's it going to share with me?
Well, it's basically, you know, that little bypass filter that we were buying, that we were making, the little PVC thing for keeping the radio frequency. It's got schematics on how to build it. It's got schematics on how to build in parts list if you want to build a little amplifier and, you know, just some of the rules. And I just, it's just a good technical read for antennas, which an antenna is the best friggin', you know, kind of thing. So, you know, it's something you want to sit down and put about an hour's worth of reading and go, yes, I want to save this. So when I get around to actually doing something, I get some, this is good knowledge to have.
Okay, cool. Cause I got a list here of things that we're going to be going over. I need some Bob time. It's still hot. You're not doing anything. Get your ass over here. You know, when Davi's here and Derek and I really start working on the site and doing the different things of the meetups we want to do on the when we come back, I'm going to read off a lot of the different projects that I got listed here that I want to do. You know, and of course, water is one of them, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm leaving to go back to Massachusetts tomorrow, and I'll be back on about the 14th.
Of what, September?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, we'll get everything ready for Bob. Because, you know, I want to do a lot of these projects. So a big project is go out there and organize all your crap. You know, that's one thing. We could do a covering between your shipping containers so we can get some shade there, maybe put down some gravel or whatever, something. You know, I'm willing to be a, you know, manual labor, help you, you know, do this stuff now that, you know, we can just get her done. Because I'd be more than happy to go out and spend a day, of, you know, on a regular band, get stuff and make videos. Yeah, video.
I'm good. I got, you know, my money's starting to free up now, so I actually, like, have something, you know, I'm not, like, you know, living from, you know, hand to mouth, and as soon as the weather cools off, shit's going to start happening.
All right, cool. And Lonnie's going to be around for a while, right?
Yeah, he's probably, you know, he's got to work, but, yeah, he'll be around.
All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
Freon.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
A sweet home, Alabama. All right, we're going to make sweet home, Arizona. Yeah, here we got a lot of stuff to do. All right, let me go over some of the list of different projects. I got an echo back there. You got the radio up or something?
Not me.
I blame you. All right. Now, what we're going to do is... one of the things that we're going to be working on, communications, we have different categories on Freedom's Phoenix. And one of the things is going to be, live chat for the radio show. We'll get that. We'll get the streaming taken care of. You know, Derek will be back from his walkabout across the country. Finally, you know, here directly. And then we'll get on a lot of this stuff. Davi will be here. We'll start developing the software and different platforms and new servers and backups and yada, 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 yada. We've got to get a foundation for the future. You know, I see what's going. I mean, yeah, we're using the World Wide Web. Yeah, we're doing. You know, Bob and I, we've been from the beginning. We were doing the World Wide Web came online. Before that, we were doing email on different servers of FidoNet, PowerVerNet, of the ThisNet, of BiteMeNet, of, you know, we were, you know, some guy's back room of his gun shop had servers, remotes. And you're doing all that. So until we can get to the freedom days, if they can't shut you off, I'm just not willing to put forth a lot of effort in the infrastructure. Well, now we have people that are going, yeah, the infrastructure's coming. Yeah. You know, we got some money. Yeah. We, you know what I mean? You know, a little bit of here, a couple thousand there, 10,000 there, 100,000 there, a million there, you know, we'll save the planet. Okay. I'm in, you know, show me and prove to me and kind of, we interview the guys and go, so this is coming. So within, you know, soon, it's coming. Well, what's some of the things? Well, live chat for the radio. We'll get more interface and streaming taken care of and so on. You know, we need a, you know, private, decentralized, you know, like a meetup thing. You know, do we use meetup? Do we have, you know, like the breakfast, Arizona Breakfast Club? Do we do it for pirates? And what would you teach? What would you learn? You know, all this Bob stuff. You know, search engines on the site that, you know, like Tribe is so we're talking to them. They're like truth in the information that you get that's validated by people like us, and they're incentivized with crypto to do, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So fake news, you know, is not coming from the fake news people, and they say the other truth is fake news. You just can bypass all that crap. We'll take care of it. FM transmitters. Now, Bob has done this. He was one of the guys that helped me create FM radio microstations that we had a lot of people during the Lovolution, that we had several of them that we put on different campuses that we used here, that we do, and he broadcast from his place out there. I gave it to Derek. He's, you know, been broadcasting from his property, LRN, since forever. All his neighbors get it. We can really focus on that. The Pirate Box, which is a Wi-Fi hub of information you can do anywhere. I own this high school. I own this campus. I own the court and the jury system. You know, we do all that kind of stuff. Let's see. We got water. We can deal with the water thing. you know, different communications, private communication, the Hoi chat, you know, using Zencash, we're working on to make it to where hailing frequency is invisible to the crown. And then, you know, solar generation, we have, you know, Bob and I worked on that, and he showed me how, and everything. This is awesome. You know, for a couple hundred bucks, you're done. You know, this, I mean, you got big screen TV, you know, here we go. All right, we got that. Now, ham radio, transmitting a private communication using a packet radio. It's been around for, God, 20 years that I know of. And now it's starting to come back. You know, yeah, the man's getting, you could send text messages over ham radio encrypted. They don't like it, but that means you can't do it. So I'm like, yeah, when you guys don't like it the most, you're not going to be able to do anything about it, so screw it. You know, crypto, you know, that's the thing. Guns, you know, and all kinds of things, domes. So these are the things that we've been building up, getting a lot of this little information that Bob's been helping me over the decades with this kind of thing. And he has the place, but he never had the time. Had the resources, didn't have the time. Had obligations of family, didn't have the time. Now he has the time. And myself and other friends, we've been waiting. Bob, we'll come out here, pimp you out just to be able to share the information. Are you willing and ready and able, Bob?
Saddle up and get your art here.
All right, waiting on you now. Now, this is one thing that the FM transmitters, tell us about that. What's some new information you got on that?
Well, you know, we you had a show on last week where you were talking about the FM transmitters and the pirate radio and all that, and I kind of, you know, re-queued up on that and got my curiosity up, and, you know, I had a bunch of files that I had gone and done some research on, and whenever I find some good information, like you say, before somebody memory holes it, I usually make a copy of it so that I know where it is, so I don't got to go try to find it again or have it gone. And, you know, the little station we had out here, I bought some kits that for these filters so you don't bleed over into other people's frequencies and get the government all upset at you, because that's one of the things they'll use to justify shutting you down on one of these micro radio stations, is that you're interfering with somebody. Is, you know, just, you used to be able to buy a filter. Well, you can't buy the filters anymore, but I found some information on there where you can buy a parts list and build your own. So that's kind of good information to have. And so I've accumulated some of that. And I like I say, I just sent you some of it back over because you had a, you know, talk on it.
Are you sending it? Are you sending it to Cox? I'm not getting it.
Cox.net.
All right. Anyway, so the filters did what?
So, you know, the filters were with the ones that kept the frequency tight, so you didn't wind up having bleed over in different harmonics of the, you know, you got to read the paper before, you know, it goes into it. But basically, you get different multiples of the frequency that you can bleed over to, and pretty quickly you can find yourself bleeding over into, like, you know, air traffic control stuff and or emergency radios, and that would be the first thing they'll do is go, well, you're interfering with, like, legitimate radio stuff, so, you know, we'll shut you down, because you're talking about, as long as you're not going across state lines and interfering with somebody else's signal, the rules are you pretty much are got a free hand to have these little radio stations for your neighborhood and, you know, or your local school or, you know.
Are they limited kind of in the power, the distance? I thought there was some kind of limitation. Oh, no, you're not allowed to be, like, real. You know, I mean, you
know. Yeah, I bet it's just a couple of watts, but, you know, then some of the information those is antennas. You can take, you know, a 3 or 4 watt radio, and if you got a directional antenna that you want to push most of that signal in a different direction, you can substantially increase your range. And, you know, just those things that you need, information that is not readily available, you know where to go find it. So it's,
you know, that was one thing when you did this, how far are you? I mean, from your property, you look down and you can see in the valley, you see the freeway, I-10 going by. But how, you know, as the crow flies, how far are you from the freeway?
Yeah, probably 6-8 miles.
Okay. Really? Is it that far? Okay, well, it doesn't seem that far. All right, so 6 miles.
I wouldn't want to walk it in the summertime.
No. Okay, but you have a signal. You've done the radio that had gone to the freeway, right?
Oh, yeah, I remember we drove up over the overpass, and we were getting, you know, radio-free tunnel pop pretty easy.
Okay, so this is, you know, it's something that you got a segment. You put up a road sign that says tune to FM, whatever the hell. You got 10 minutes of, you know, 10 mile swath that you're in my range and you're going to learn something. You put it on loop of, you know, they're free. And then yeah. The man goes, where's that coming from? We got to go get that guy. But the, but it's possible. Okay. So this is and it cost how much for these? God, it's like $150 maybe you know, to get all the from Chinese Baidu until they make it illegal. You know, you can do that. But the you can buy all the equipment, and we set up an entire radio station that would cover hundreds of thousands of people for, what, $300 or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you sat there and went to, like, just outside some stadium on, like, Super Bowl day or something like that, and you had everybody tailgating, you could have a going concern. You know, who knows how many people you'd be talking to?
Well, we've done that. We've taken the RV here, or, you know, traveling Gypsy Freedom's Phoenix radio station Gypsy booth. We go out to courtside out there, and we pass out flyers to all the literally 100,000 RVs, and the government's giving them crap. Well, we're broadcasting from the parking lot of City Hall on 92 point whatever, gotta get some. And they go in there, and they turn, there it is, man, we're broadcasting live, and something, we gotta get that, get a government agent to go, and by the time we're gone, you know, so this capacity is there. And Bob Lidman, he's all over this stuff, because I remember, you remember in the 90s, there was that Dugan guy that was doing radio from here. We had in the newspaper they were trying to shut down. And then they kind of go, damn it. You know, these guys, constitution, we don't have jurisdiction. Pirate radio is legal now, you know. So under certain conditions, and I'm not really concerned. But this is what we're going to be working on. A lot of these issues, these projects. But you need a good place to do it. Here would be a good place, but, you know, we're in town, and I got the infrastructure and so on. But Bob has done a lot of this stuff before, but then it kind of it takes a little bit of maintenance, right? Yeah, okay, we got it. We'll just set it over there. We proved the point. But your aquaponics system would be a going, you know, heavy duty. How's it doing now?
Well, it's pretty hot right now, so it's not as what you think it was. That's coming October.
Well, the fish still alive?
Oh, the fish are alive. Yeah, they laugh.
Yeah, they're huge too, man. One of those fish is a, you know, a banquet. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, I haven't really harvested them. If I was harvesting them, you know, happen to replace them all the time. But yeah, they've got to be 4 or 5 years old running. I mean, they're the size of dinner plates.
Yeah, no, you need to get you some babies. They're not making babies.
Thomas the Tank Engine says he's.
Are they making babies, or are they just eating them?
I don't know. They were down in that hot tub, and I really can't see what's going on. I don't have all the nice little, like, vegetation you had in yours, so that, you know, so they're probably eating them, as far as I know. But I never saw them have babies, because it would have been nice. That was kind of the idea. And then I bought that aquarium that I was going to put some in, but Danny got, like, angelfish, and so now that he took over my breeding aquarium for his bedroom fish. Which
you know what happened? What changed it? What made it to where, you know, if you get like those clay potted plant pots that are just like 8 inches across that have the hole in the middle, if you put them upside down in the bottom, boom, they make babies. Or you put a PVC tube that's kind of big. Anywhere that they got some place they can go, and then the babies stay, and they, you know, that's what happened, you know, over here. It wasn't from, you know, having the pond so much as it, we had some stuff in there that gave them like a, it's like you need a coral reef for the fish kind of thing.
Yeah, I got a few flower pots in there. I'm doing a whole greenhouse reorganizing when this fall. I'm changing because I've realized, like, okay, I got the stuff that's on the right side really should be on the left side, and vice versa, because the plant's going to get too big or shade the other plants. And I'm going to kind of do a reconfiguration of some of that stuff. And I got to get in after the fish and basically drain the hot tub and clean it. I haven't had that thing drained in a couple of years, so I don't know what kind of, you know, schmug is on the bottom of it. So I, you know, I'm going to, you know, maybe get new fish, and then, you know, I'm just going to kind of redo the greenhouse this fall.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely works. You learned a lot, and you can get her done. This is, as you're doing this, I mean, hold off before, you know, we got lights, we got cameras, we got, and I'll get some other if I need to. I mean, I'm I'm going to rip you off. I'll be the channel. I'll go out there and whatever, or pirates, you know, something, you know.
Get after it. I'm telling you, man, I got a bunch of videos, just the ones I've done on my aquaponics site. When I do the filming, you know, then I go to studio for like, half a day, you know, try to get the music and cut it and edit it. And then, I mean, so, you know, that's why I only do like one or two a year, because I'll still get a wild hair up my butt and go, you know, I think I'll do a film. But it'll take me a good, you know, whole weekend to put something that's even...
You know what happens? What eventually happens, the guys that produce the content, they spend so much time on getting the content and doing film and everything, and then they spend that much or more time on the editing. Well, what they've done is they farm that out to, you know, a Fiverr in Pakistan or some guy or whatever the hell, and you got Luke Radowski and James Corbett and, you know, a lot of these guys that do this kind of stuff, you know, like Tim Pachote, that's what they do. They take, here's the raw video, here's kind of, you know, my spiel and how, and you kind of over a period of time, you get the style of someone, and you could, hell, you hire the same guy for, I don't know. You know, I mean, that's something that we could do, because I'm with you, brother, man. Some of these guys can do it better, faster, and it's not worth my time to do that. I can do it, but it's just a pain in the ass, and that's something you could train somebody. I mean, you know, give me some intern teenager, you know, learn something, but that may be the way we go. That's what we're working on, too. A lot of this is technology gets faster and better, and just the time for processing, you know, on these computers, well, that gets faster, and then it gets more ability. You know, I'd like to learn it, but I don't really have to. We could hire somebody, especially if it's revenue generating from doing, you know, subscriptions or something, because that's what where I want this to go, is it be decentralized and it be crowdfunded of kind of without, and we have our own funding mechanisms and storefront and all this. That's what we're working on, because I don't want to be on the Patreon or the PayPal, the grid, and then they shut it off, because they always do. Because the thing is that you would think that they wouldn't on the stuff that we're doing, but if you make it pirate, and that the whole point is that you're decentralizing yourself away from central plan, grid control, law, doesn't matter, and it's universal, human beings anywhere on the planet, and we're off your grid and suck it, they go, yeah, those guys are on the list now, and they're first, and we slow it down or shut it off, or no. And I'm going, they go, they wouldn't do that. Really?
Yeah.
Right. So that's what let's think about it. So you're going to be back in the middle of September.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, keep in touch with me. Let me know, you know, what's up. Cause I want to, set a time while Davi is here that we do the first pirate kind of gathering meetup of the guys that do this stuff, like Mike and Brian and you and me and Lon and different, you know, that are actually doing this kind of stuff. And then we have some professionals, like we have the ham radio guy in the East Valley, the retail shop, and doing the packet radio thing. We got this water guy up here at Cave Creek. We got the aquaponics guy. We got this guy, that guy. We come in and we could do really good videos and demonstration and show and what. And I think that would be very popular. So, and it's very informative, and I want to, because we can't. And then take that, what we learn and everything, and to a piece of property. And it may be an incentive when the prices take a dump, which I think be happening here directly. There'll be a bunch of places with a well on it already in Tonopah.
Where's that crypto thing? Or what day is that crypto thing that's coming up in September?
It is, you remember, Donna? It's
like 20-something, or?
Yeah, it's like 21st, 23rd, something. Let me look. 19th through the 22nd, which is what days of the week? Wednesday through Saturday.
All right, because I plan on, you know, I plan on wanting to go to some of that. I guess I'll figure out which is the best day to go, but I definitely want to.
Just stay here and hang, man. We'll just go whenever we feel like going, we'll go. Because I plan on going as much as I can go. And, it is, see, that's the, when is the, that's their newsletter and stuff. You know, but that's one thing that, you know, Davi and I are going to be working on, creating a vending space, a little 10x10 design of a special blah, 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 and we'll order and logo up and for this kind of stuff. And I wanted to put, you know, like one of the, you know, three different sizes of solar generators there, and we'll have some shirts and bumpers and all that kind of crap. But the whole point is decentralization of everything, and maybe we'll make a banner with a picture of, you know, some of your stuff or your property, or we're going to develop. So I'm for freaking getting her done. And the only thing that's holding me off of buying land out there is because I just know it's going to be, you know, like half in 6 months anyway. I'll wait. But if you see some more, there was a couple of properties that you, yeah, we went and I go, oh, I'm going to get that. And it was, of course, gone already. You know, there were some really good deals, like a home with a pool and 5 acres and a bunch of what did that in it for $130,000-$150,000, and it's gone. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So you come across more of those, man, I'm on it.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's going to come back. It's just a matter of time before the bottom falls out.
Yeah, I think it's starting. Hey, thanks for taking a short notice here, Bob. This is I'm glad we got to do this because we keep piecemealing it and putting stuff together and so on, and it's building up. It's going to be head down and plow through September. It's going to be like three all of September. Just how much stuff can we get planned, done, bought, purchased, in line, develop, get, decide what equipment we need for every, because a lot of my equipment, the video equipment, the lighting equipment and everything is kind of old. I mean, the infrastructure is good, like the poles and this and the, you know, the disperser deal and all that, but I don't need halogen. You know, I can go LED. I don't need, you know, a big giant camera. Heck, I use an iPhone. I mean, I don't need that, you know, that kind of crap. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to redo the studio a little bit and get upgraded on some things for this. So if you're in, man, I'm in.
Yeah, no, I'm in. You know, that was a pretty cool little setup that guy had up at Jackalope, that little booth he set up. That was like a going concern, man.
Which one was that? What are you talking about?
The one you did the interview in the meadow with. Back, but I mean, that was quite a little studio he set up, and that was pretty portable, man. That was pretty styling.
You know, I don't think you've seen my portable thing. I got that even more concentrated. You know, I could make it to where like he had that bar thing or something in the mics, but yeah, I got, we can make a more portable kind of remote thing. I got it in a case. I mean, it's got this kind of, it's like $5,000 worth of crap with a mixer control the head. You know, I mean, I don't think you've seen it in operation. I got that going on, but we can make it more pimp. And then, I want to put everything in cases. I want it, you know, like all these Pelican poly, whatever, especially since they're freaking cheap, you know, that Harbor Freight for $20. Oh my God. You know, so yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm for modular. What? That's another thing. Do you have a good welder or just a wire feed of what?
Mike might have his welder. I'm not sure what it is. The only welder, I just gas weld.
Well, I need you to come over and show me that. You mean like brazing or acetylene kind of thing?
Yeah, it's oxyacetylene, but it's welding. It ain't brazing. I mean, you get steel rod and you melt and make puddle. And
I gotta do my trailer. I got all kinds of bad welds on that I've jacked up with. I got a little Lincoln buzz box and I got my wire feed and I'm about ready to get me a TIG or something or whatever. But I just, you know, I got my regulator and the gas stuff. I just, you know, need somebody to show me and train me. I haven't done gas welding since I was freaking teenager, but I have to get this trailer. I have to get to where I got better welds. Cause I, you know, the thin to the thicker kind of just not working. So a TIG is kind of electrical version of a gas welder, isn't it?
Right. It's how well you can control the puddle. I always have our trouble with the wire feeds, because you know it spatters and sticks and makes a big friggin' mess, and by the time you grind it down to look like something, you remove most of the weld and then it don't work. But the gas welder is a lot more slow, it's controlled, you can make your puddle nice and play with it, and so I just find that the gas welding always has worked way better for me. But
yeah, no, I remember one of my neighbors when I was in high school, we used to always go there and hang out because he was building sand rails, and he used a coat hangers and a gas weld, and he had beautiful welds.
Yeah, no, that's basically why I did it. It was just because I suck at welding, and I could actually get halfway decent looking welds with the gas welder.
All right, well, maybe that's what I'll just go do. I'll go buy. Yeah, we got the trailer out here. That's definitely another project. You know, that double axle, man, that's going to turn into a house on wheels rolling. We got everything, a bug out something. You know, I still got that, but you know, we have a bunch of stuff. I got that hot water heater, hose, shower, horse thing, you know, a couple of those. You know, I got an extra one just for you. You know, that'd be payment for stuff. All right, man. Yeah, I'm excited. So plan on when you come get back, you know, from Massachusetts, If you go to the Nexus Earth thing, we get stuff. We're going to have some art. We'll be doing pretty banners, and we're going to make serious effort on this thing because I think, a lot of our sponsors and supporters and subscribers, and I've been getting a lot of feedback. They're willing to invest in, kind of the future here. So we're going to try and demonstrate it. All right, man. What's that beeping? Your phone about ready to go out, Bauer?
Yeah, somebody else trying to call me.
Oh, okay. All right, man. Thanks for coming on, Bob. Talk to you later.
Later.
All right, bye.